Welcome to the Intuition Conversations. My name is Megan Field. I'm an intersectional social justice activist, an intuitive embodiment facilitator, a Koya teacher, a licensed practical magic coach, and an Irish Celtic moon mana practitioner. I'm a Gemini polymath with an insatiable passion for learning, empowerment, and connecting people to others, and most importantly, to themselves. Each week, I will be exploring topics around intuition, how to connect with and trust your internal GPS, that inner compass, which is the sacred container of all your innate wisdom and power. This podcast is an opportunity to pool knowledge from a wide range of amazing people and practitioners and bring together a worldwide community of intuitive souls. I'm so excited to share the wisdom in today's episode with you. So let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Intuition Conversations. My guest today is Emma Griffin of Sacred Space Cornwall. Emma, I'm delighted to have you and I cannot wait to dig into so much with you today. Emma is a witch, an intuitive channeler, and an intuition teacher. So, you know, I feel like we have the right person for this podcast. She's a mystical mentor, a healer. She offers guidance, medicine reading, soul business mentoring. You have a shop where you have your own blend of cacao. You do art. You have, you sell magical supplies. You do sister circles. I mean, and I'm sure there's a million other things I'm forgetting right now, but yeah, Emma is, and I think the biggest identifier that I would sort of observe you as is a modern day witch. And I'm so excited today to dig into the intersection of witchcraft and witch and being a witch and intuition and how intuition just weaves its way through your work and how you're showing up in the world at this time. So Emma, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Intuition Conversation. So good to have you.
Thank you for having me on this. I'm really excited. Thank you.
And I should also say that Emma is based in Cornwall and I've just moved to Cornwall. So I, you know, I'm even more excited to get to know you, Emma, as we're out down here. Now I'm down here in Cornwall as well. And to, you know, just to learn a little bit more about the woo web and the network down here as well. So welcome, welcome. Emma, how would you, now that I've described you, how would you describe yourself and the work that you're doing in the world at this time?
Well, I am a witch in Cornwall and I really sort of specialize in helping women mainly sort of connect back to their authentic self. I'm also a channeler, so I work with 12 higher beings who are control, well, not control, sort of watch over your actual soul record. So when I do one-to-ones, I channel guidance from them and sort of help women on their path to actually sort of pick up all of their past healings or any fears and step them onto the right path of why they're here. So intuition is massive in my daily life, in all areas of my life, especially as my one-to-one sessions, but also in my personal magic that I do.
Ooh, oh my God. So much to unpick there already. I'm like, who are the higher beings is my first question. So maybe we'll you can talk to me about that in a minute. Like, who are the 12? Like, how did you find them? How did they find you? Like, when did that happen? Like, that's my initial question. But maybe let's come back to that and let's loop to you. As you said, that intuition just, you know, is so prevalent in the work that you do for yourself, for your personal magic, but also the work you do with others. So how would you describe intuition? What does intuition mean to you?
Personally, to me, it's my feminine, gentle whisper. So many people want to learn how to connect to spirit or to higher beings, but I really feel that your intuition is a whisper from your soul. And that's the best guidance that we could possibly have on our human journey, because that one soul knows where you're going, knows where you've been before, knows what you should be doing and what paths you should be taking. So that's the best advice, the best guidance you could possibly have, not from your granddad or from your spirit guide or from any sort of ET or anything else out there. I really feel it's your intuition. That's the one thing that you really need to trust and really learn to master.
Oh, I love that. I love how you describe that. Like, it's that knowledge from your soul, like that knows where you've been, knows where you're going and knows what path you should be taking. I love that. That's a beautiful description. Yeah. And so in terms of, you know, the practices, like the practice that you use to, I suppose, grow your intuition or, you know, grow that trusting relationship with it, has it always been, have you always been intuitive? Have you always listened to it? Or is there, you know, are there practices mm-hmm. that, or experiences that you've used along the way to strengthen that connection and that channel?
Yeah, I mean, I've grown up with different parents, so to speak. So I was always been talking to spirit. So obviously that was never shut down within my childhood. So, you know, my parents never said it was wrong. It was questioned at school. So I kind of like dropped it in my 20s a bit. But then I thought all of the questions in life I had to ask somebody who was dead. And then I realized over time, so yeah, I'm 46. It's taken me a long while to actually realize, actually, no, there's different frequencies that we can work with. And one of the best and strongest and most sort of like, it is soft and gentle, but it's very confident. And it's just this lovely wisdom that we hold within that is different to the spirit connection. So I realize that there's different channels I can use in my daily life for my personal guidance. So then I realized how sort of beneficial it was for me as a woman or a mom or a wife or whatever. I needed them to be able to show other women that they can also trust themselves and feel, because I'm just obsessed with the heart space, and the heart space is the connection to the soul. So that is my main USP. That's my main thing, really. So yeah, to focus on and to guide others to connect to that space.
I think that that's such an important point, that that wisdom, that you know, that channel is really connected to the heart and connected to feeling. And I don't, you know, for me personally, like the intuition, like if in that felt sense, it's not up in my head, you know, it's not from that mental space. It's when I drop in, I go on that journey from my head to my heart, and I spend some time like feeling and being with being with that felt sense. And so, and I know for me, I know what kind of practices that I use. I know that slowing down, being in ceremony and ritual, like journaling, you know, being in space is like certainly being in the land here. Like I, you know, like when I add sort of like, when I put myself in this land, it's the, my intuition just feels like it's, you know, it almost feels safe and open to really communicate with me. And I think that, you know, I've said this before on the podcast that, you know, one of the reasons why I'm now based here, because I spent most of lockdown here, and we would just, you know, kind of go within a 5 to 10 minute radius of the house, and which luckily involves the moor and the beach. And I would, you know, I'd be walking along and my partner would be like, "You're so quiet." And I just said, "I'm listening," you know? And he's like, "What are you listening to?" Yeah. I'm like, "The land." And it was like, and just getting message from myself, but like, because the land was like, "Oh, we got you. Like, just listen, you know, you can do this." Yeah. And so I suppose like, ask like, so what is your relationship with this land like, and, you know, and how do you tune in, you know, on a daily basis to, you know, to this language, to these messages of the confident, gentle messages of your soul?
Yeah, well, being Cornwall, I'm more of a forest girl. I like the beach, but I don't like the sun. So I'm more forest, moss, trees. And I just feel that being in those kind of environments, you really feel that you're being held in like this safe container. So you can just sit and connect to and ground and connect to all of the forest elements and stuff. To connect to my intuition, I do that on a daily basis. Probably I do a deeper one, which I explain in the mornings, but then I do it obviously throughout the day. Meditation is the biggest thing for me, because then I can tune into all the different types of frequencies that I work with. So I will just literally just drop in. I would light a white candle, sit down on my floor altar, put my left hand on my heart, and I just ask. I ask really probably 20 times a day, how am I feeling? Where am I holding stress? I never make decisions from my mind space, because that's where I've been programmed, and society is sort of like controlling us then in our mind space. I always ask, you know, what do I feel about this situation or opportunity? And then I answer. So yeah, I have to sort of be in that still moment.
And yeah, like, you know, that wisdom, you know, like there's an intelligence that comes from the mind. And then there's another intelligence, and not to like, you know, I don't enjoy a hierarchy, but like, it does feel deeper, that intelligence that comes from, yeah, from feeling and from, yeah, and from the, like the deconditioned space of, I'm going to slow down and feel into this as opposed to, yeah, rush into this because I feel, yeah, pressured.
Yeah. You might have to step away. Like I tell my class, I do a fake we. So if someone's asking me questions and I'm like, oh, I'm not sure what to do, I'll just go, hang on a minute, and I'll just go to the bathroom, and then I'll ask myself. And then I'll come out and answer. You know, there's ways of doing things. You just need to slow down and feel into the question and let your soul give you the answer. Because then I fully trust that, especially if it brings fear. And I think society has taught us so much that we're not allowed to feel. It's bad to feel. You know, everyone's got to take medication to stop us feeling because we can't feel anxious, but that's our body showing us things.
Absolutely. That is inherently so important. And, you know, when I sort of came to this path, and it was through yoga and lots of other things, you know, probably now, oh gosh, when I was pregnant, so about 13 years ago, you know, before that, and certainly in the, you know, in the first few years of, you know, weaving my way into this, into my own well-being practices, I was like, my body was just this vehicle for my giant head, like in this brain. And it was, you know, I remember the first time that I was like, that I did that, that I was like, I slowed down and I took a moment in a work setting. I was about to go and speak in front of about 500 people at a conference that I had organized around modern slavery or tackling modern slavery. And I remember, like, you know, going into your fake wee story reminded me of this, like going into the bathroom at the mayor's office in London, and having some breaths and having some sense, you know, having coming into my center and saying to myself, I have such an opportunity here in front of all of these people. What do I need to communicate? And without even knowing what I was doing, asking for that internal confidence, asking for like to be held, like just, I just want to work from the best place so that, you know, everyone walks away motivated and excited and ready to do something about, you know, about this issue. And, you know, and it was brilliant. And I felt differently speaking in front of all those people. And from then on, every time I need to do, whether it's a circle or like, now I know what I was doing is like almost like calling in my own sacred space, asking my intuition to like, to guide me, asking all this energy around me. And I didn't even know what that was, but intuitively it felt right.
Right. Remembered. Yeah.
And I do that now, you know, before everything, before I sit down and do a podcast, before I do a retreat, before, and then, you know, setting sacred space is, has become a daily practice for me. Yeah. And it's within that container of sacred space that my intuition speaks to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, when you're feeling stressed or you're with, you know, obviously we can control ourselves in our own home, but when we're with people that aren't our people and it starts being more like energy vampires and just draining, you can literally come back to your home in the center and re-still and ask yourself things and get into the present moment. Like I'm not a goal setting person either. I don't look in the past. I'm only in the present moment, and that helps me anchor into my intuition.
That's that idea that, you know, coming back to home and back to center, no matter where you are. I've been leaning hard into that as like, I got down here on Sunday night and I was like, every single thing I own, except for a few bags, is somewhere in the UK. And I can't tell you where that is. Like, that's just, I'm just going to trust. But like, and then I was like, I got down this, like, you know, it was like kind of like falling asleep on Sunday night. And I was like, what would happen if I never saw that stuff again? Would I be okay? Like, what's, you know, what's keeping me from falling asleep? It's fear. Yeah. Fear of what? Like, fear of all my stuff going missing. And I kind of really just, I stayed with that feeling. And I was like, would I be okay if all of my worldly possessions? Yeah. And I was like, you know, I would be, except for some maybe really personal things, but most of which I carried with me because of this reason, I could let it go. I could let it go. And then I fell asleep.
You're fine.
But I like that. I really like that idea of like you carry home with you, and it's, you know, and creating those moments of connection is really important. And so I'm really curious to know about the relation. Like, I'd love to hear, and I know you've probably told the story before, but I'd love to hear it. The story of how you came to identify as a witch, and then the relationship between intuition and being a witch. And did that kind of play out throughout, throughout your life?
Yeah. Well, I was really young. I was with my husband, well, boyfriend at the time. And we went to this massive London spiritual fair or festival. And I went to see somebody and they gave me tarot reading. And I was very brute. I've always loved children. And I think I was engaged at this time. And then this guy just did me a reading and said, "You're infertile. You can't have children." And that literally just shattered me. And although I didn't, my mum was a tarot reader and my mum was like, "Oh, don't listen to him." Because he said that, I think it's almost like a spell. I thought, gosh, I know I really want to have children. So my mum was obviously a witch anyway, but I never took it seriously. I just sort of kind of watched her do things. I wasn't really that interested. And then I just woke up one day. So obviously then my intuition was like, you need to just create this yourself. I asked my mum, "Can I have all your books? I need to set up an altar and I need to just jump in and I will physically manifest children into my life." So that's at about 21. I just did an initiation. I was a Wiccan witch. I took it very, very seriously. I had lots, obviously that's more traditional and more rules. And then my daughter came at 23. But I visualized and manifested and just worked constantly on this outcome. Mm. I did have no doubts or anything. So then obviously I've carried on being a witch ever since then because it's just how I live. So I can't remember me not being a witch now, but I'm more relaxed because over the years I've learned what's works well for me. I don't want to be told I can't do magic on a Thursday or a certain moon phase, because I really feel that magic comes from the feeling, the intention. So I don't have to have any tools, really. I can still have the outcome. And then, candles, crystals, herbs, moon phases just amplify my manifestation, my wish, my spell. So with intuition, if I don't have a good connection with my intuition, I can't set good intentions. My intention is the magic. So I've got to make sure I'm this pure, high frequency, pure channel. And I've got to be in the right good mood. I can't be angry or sad or depressed or anxious if I want to manifest something into my life. So that strong connection is so important and it has to be really, really clear. And also, so you've got witchcraft and magic, but you've also got manifestations as well. So manifestation is you can write a list, you can set it to the universe, but if you don't feel and you can't visualize that feeling and that emotion, it's not going to work. So that's also linked to your soul. So I can't do my job without having that. So that's why it's so important to me.
Does that make sense? Absolutely. Absolutely. I find it's really interesting that, what I hear, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that, as you became, it almost sounds like as you became a more confident witch, that the sort of the structures and the rules were unnecessary and almost like restrictive, and to be able to come from this intuitive place, where you know what works, where you trust yourself enough to say, like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, throw out the rule book. I'm making up my own, what was that process like for you?
It's very freeing because obviously, lots of people will say to you, "Oh, you're doing this wrong or you're doing that wrong." But I really don't believe that because no one can do magic like me because I'm different to everyone else and you're different to someone else. So how can someone do it wrong? And if you're getting the right outcome and everything you're doing is for the highest good, I don't do anything nasty or anything like that. I am more of a Molly Weasley witch. I'm more gentle and I'll just do nice things like fertility or abundance or good luck or safe travels. Or it's nothing like you're going to win the lottery, you're going to have amazing sex. Like, it's not that. So it is very gentle. I just trusted in everything, because obviously with the frequencies I work with, if I'm told by spirit or my higher beings or my soul to do something, I have to act upon that, because that's like my life rule, so to speak, because I trust that. Even if it scares the hell out of me, I know it's going to be really, really good. So I've got to hear those different callings.
And can you, are there any stories that sort of come to the, you know, the front of your heart when you think about when you've leaned into that? And like you said, like when you've practiced from this high frequency to manifest for yourself, like in, you know, with this highest good, positivity, like, you know, maybe is there a recent example that you could share with us of how that's practically worked in your life?
There is something major, but I can't actually release that yet, but I can say the biggest manifestation. So this podcast, you mentioned this a week ago, yeah. But how I started Sacred Space was all to do with intuition. So I was a fashion photographer. I had a really lovely business, and the Sacred Space and the witchcraft was very private, and is how I lived my life at home. So I would go on to photo shoots and maybe give people crystals, or I might talk about the dead. I did channel guidance, but never told them what I was doing. And they just said, oh, you just really, it's really helpful. You're just really wise. And I was like, yeah, it was like, I'm not going to tell you where that's come from. I lost my dad. And then within a year later, my mum became ill. And when my mum became ill, I just thought, I need to go back to my sort of energy work. So I was obviously a Reiki master as well in my 20s. So I thought, I need to hold space for her. And then I just remember being really overwhelmed, full of stress. And we lived in the different village then. I walked into a field and just sat in this cornfield. So the corn came out like above my head. And I just screamed because I was feeling just really scared, full of fear, didn't know what to do. I had this busy workload with my photography, and I just sort of shouted to the universe, to all my frequencies, that, you know, what do you want me to do? What shall I do? And then my soul just said, you've got to use everything you've learned, step forward and share and help. So I thought, oh, now I'm terrified. So I came home to my husband. I was like, I've got to set up now. I'm going to call it Sacred Space. I'm going to have a little studio. I'm going to help and heal and just see how it goes alongside the photography. The more I was doing that, the more my photography, people were actually coming up to me saying, I can't work with you. I can't be associated with you. You're mentioning witchcraft. You're mentioning dead people. And I remember crying in bed thinking, I'm damaging this career that I've spent like 13 years building in Cornwall. You know, this is the wrong thing. And I was really stressed, and my soul's like, no, this is right. This is going to work out even better. And now, obviously, I've quit the photography ages ago. You know, it has been the best thing I've ever done. It doesn't feel like I'm working anymore.
That's amazing. That is, yeah, I think that's when that, I've heard this a few times from folks now, when they've listened to this pull in another direction that might have initially scared them, or they didn't, it often is that, like, you don't know the how is this going to work? I don't know, but I know enough about myself that I'm going to trust it.
Yeah, and it's terrifying, you know, and things I share, I'm literally like, oh, I'm terrified, but then I get a good response. Or if I show up, I'm like, I'm terrified of doing a live or, you know, speak on camera, but it works. So you feel like you have this backup in this kind of role, and it doesn't feel like a business anymore.
That's beautiful. And speaking of beauty, I know you mainly through Instagram, and the aesthetic that you have on Instagram is stunning. It's very, very beautiful. And is that related to your history as a fashion photographer? Like, or where does that aesthetic come from? Because it's very, I would say that's something that really differentiates you in terms of like the beauty that you put out into the world. Could you talk to us about that?
Yeah. I'm a creative soul. My mum was an artist. I was an artist. I went to art college. That's where I met my husband. Then later on in life, I went and did a fine art degree when my kids were really young. And I started using a camera because I'm very dyslexic. and it was very academic, and I had to explain things. So, and I really found that hard. So I started taking photos to explain and communicate through visual form. Then people started asking me to photograph their kids or family or dog. And because I was a fashion designer, it was my first job, I thought, I'm going to go into fashion. I'm going to create and actually ask models to pose and make these beautiful storytelling type of content. And that's what I did. It just took off from there, and brands just said, oh, could you do this for me? So with the sacred space, I find that very easy, but it's more exciting now because I can take photos for me and just sort of get my story out. And it's just the look that I've done has just sort of happened naturally, just part of me.
Intuitively.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously I draw, I make, and it's just part of who I am. Yeah.
And another question I wanted to ask you is about like the role of community and collaboration in the work that you do. And, you know, we were talking before we started recording about a sisterhood photo shoot and experience that you had earlier this week. And yeah, I'd love to hear a bit about, you know, where like there's this idea that like witches, like, you know, soul witch, you know, being a soul witch versus being a witch in community, and or not versus or and being a witch in community. Could you talk to a little bit about like your relationship to being, you know, a soul witch, but also, you know, I know that like your daughter as well is a practicing witch, and that's something that she's claimed to. And you don't necessarily need to speak for her, but also like, where does that in terms of like your role as a witch who is around other witches or helping to or supporting other women to channel that, you know, again, that personal magic?
Yeah, well, I haven't actually, no one's asked me that question before. I don't have a coven, so I'd always do magic on my own, just so that I'm in control of my energy. I think it's a very personal practice, and every witch is different. I'm Aquarius. I'm very sociable. I like to have friends. I like to interact with people. And after lockdown, I was just lost, not actually being with people, because as a photographer, I was with models, teams, and it was just really fun. So I actually called in a sisterhood because that's what my soul needed and desired. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to ask the universe to bring it forward. So two of my actual clients, which you will see on my stories a lot, came forward, and they are just literally just like my soul sisters. And so the three of us started to sort of connect into each other. My daughter was also in the background wanting to learn more, and she was honoring the moon and wanted to do things. So I thought, right, okay, I can guide you with this if you want to step on this path. So that grew to a couple of other women. So recently I've initiated all of those together. So now they had this real strong sort of, it's sort of like an energetic link with each other to be witches. So we now all celebrate. Well, I've got a witch rebirthday. They will have a witch rebirthday. They will celebrate. And it's making a commitment to who you want to be, the witch that you were and the witch that you want to be now. So going back to my two sisters, it was really strange because we were all working in different ways and we were connecting to past lives. And there was a past life incident where I started recording what I was seeing and feeling, and I was managed to date, and I managed to name this person that I felt I was, and it goes back to the burning times. Then when I took my other two sisters through healing and meditation, they were seeing the same things, but I had not told them what I've seen. And it's what's really sort of freaking me out is this week I've had people traveling down from up north just literally want to come and have a holiday in Cornwall to be in my healing sheds. Two of them have also seen that lifestyle, and I've never shared that on social media. So this connection with past life has also come into place. What else did you ask about the witchcraft?
Well, but yeah,
when we're together. So for the sacred sister circles, I just wanted to bring women together because obviously having a young daughter, I could see that her sort of generation, there is so much pressure, so much judgment. And that makes me, obviously brings up the witch wound. It makes you feel out of your power. And I've always been an empowering mummy. So at the circle is sort of making a safe space for these women to learn as well. I love different ages. I love different career backgrounds. I don't mind whether what religion you are or what you're practicing or anything, just to share and hold space for everybody. And it is just, it's basically like an honor to watch these women interact and just be so lovely with each other. There is no judgment. It's completely in the present moment. They're sort of holding every word that another sister would say, and they're sort of guiding them through. There's tears, there's laughter, there's dancing, there's fun. It's just amazing. And it is like an honor just to actually hold space for that. So that was my soul said, do that. I was like, okay.
I think
okay, I'll add that to my workload.
Another thing. Okay, got it. Time bending is, I think the biggest thing I feel like we witches do is bend time to fit it all in.
Yeah, but it's so lovely to be in that group of these other women, isn't it? I mean, you do too. And it's just, it's not a business money thing. It's just that it's my medicine as well. To actually have that time with the right people.
That's exactly it. That I love the expression. I use it a lot, like the medicine that you offer. And I think that like, it's also the medicine that you receive. And so when I hold space, I hold it on my own. I hold it collaboratively with loads of different women. I love, like, collaboration is a huge, it's a huge thing for me. I feel like that, we heal as, as a society, we heal in community, as much as we, can heal individually. And I feel like without that outer healing and inner healing, like that needs to be really connected. I was holding a circle down in Portsmouth on Friday night, which is a combination of, it's sort of a women's circle background, but with singing and ceremony and ritual. And, I've been in big circles and I've been in small circles, and there's something about about setting that container for for women to, no one's fixing each other. There's no should, there's no judgment. As you say, there's a space to feel, there's a space that's opened, which invites people into that feeling.
It's returning home.
Yeah. And then to be able to express it in a number of different ways. And it's, and I think that's why I can really relate to what you said, is like you really craved that community, particularly after lockdown, because there's an alchemy, I think, that happens, when we're by ourselves and we're journaling and we're creating our magic and we're doing our rituals, like that is beautiful and so important. It can happen in other ways too. And certainly in the community and being even when I'm holding the container I've put out an invitation to people to come and explore, I'm also learning. I'm also witnessing. I'm also alchemizing. Even as when I'm more in a teaching role, I'm still always a student. I'm still curious about what's going on. And what you're saying about I love as much accessibility as I can create in a space, as much intersectionality as I can create in a space. Like, I'm always thinking about how can more people come into that magic. Community is really
beautiful.
And in terms of the initiation into it, were those, I'm really curious about this, did that group kind of come to you and say this is what we want, or was that
my daughter did. My daughter did. There's obviously my two friends are in that, and obviously as one of them actually came to me as a client who didn't believe in the spirit world. And now she is actually a medium and does readings. So she's my star pupil. the other one, she was just a witch, but she just didn't know it. It was just so obvious to me, but she just didn't know it. And so I sort of suggested, quite flippantly, I should just initiate you. And they were like, yeah, I really want to do that. So then my daughter did. So the other two that came forward, I could see that they were so natural at magic. And I knew that making that commitment, then they're going to have more confidence in themselves as a woman and be the woman that they wanted to be. Because obviously I've asked them to share vows with me, their promises of how they're going to bring witchcraft in their daily life, into their careers. And it's, you know, a lot of different things that they do. And also they've got to come out and say, I'm a witch. And that can be terrifying. Mm. And they all did. And it was just so beautiful and emotional. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so my daughter did ask me.
And could someone initiate themselves into being a witch?
Yeah. I mean, I initiated myself. I just followed a book basically and followed all the tours. And then over the years, I did meet I've met loads of amazing people, but I met a couple of wise women who were a lot older than me, more like crones. And they also initiated me as well. So I've had those throughout my life, but I wanted to make the ones that I did the other week just visually beautiful as well. So that it really made an impact. So they really make that promise.
Mm, I think a couple of threads to pick up on there, that idea of, you said like, it's not, it hasn't been safe, I think up until very recently, and still isn't in lots of communities and parts of the world, to claim that, like, whether it's witch or priestess or that sort of, that those words that have had a very, like, historically have had a very, you know, a very damaging meaning for women in particular, and in this century, to be able to say, this is who and what I am, you know, it's like when I've seen it in circle, that we're like kind of circle that we're talking about, where like women have been like, right now, I'm going to say it. I'm a witch. And it's like,
and then they cry.
Exactly. It's a massive thing to be like, this is who I am and this is who I want to be. And, you know, creating a ceremony where people can, you know, where that commitment, where who they are is seen, heard, felt, and recognized is an important thing.
Yeah. And that goes back to the sisterhood, you see.
And, you know, we like all of these more, you know, religious rites of passage that we honor. You know, no one, you know, we're at a stage where, you know, no one bats an eye at any of those. And also, like, you know, less batting of an eye, like when someone's like, oh, no, I'm not going to get married, that kind of thing. But I one of the things that I see a lot of people who hold space is like creating rites of passage for, you know, to honor the meaningful moments and the meaningful transitions in outside of the more patriarchal, heteronormative
muggle world.
Exactly that. And I think that's, you know, and it's not surprising that, you know, that your daughter and these women that you're close with, you know, they trust you enough to come to you and say, I want to be seen, held, and heard and witnessed. This commitment by you.
Yeah. And that's why it was so emotional.
I can imagine. And I also, like, you know, to initiate your daughter, I do write.
Yeah, that was really hard. She cried as soon as she came onto the location. I was like, you're not meant to cry yet. The whole time she was crying. I was like, this is really hard.
It's, I mean, I was at Wild Woman Camp a few weeks ago, and I do different, you know, Celtic rites of passage, including like when my friend Louisa was like, oh, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, we're really connected to Mother Earth, so I'd really like to do the mother rites of passage. Well, when I said that, I just felt into it and just like let it go. And then my like just so happened that my mother decided to come visit whilst on this Wild Woman Camp. So I was like, Mom, I'm dragging you up to Lincolnshire, and we're sleeping in a school bus, and this, come on, Mom, she's 73. And she was like, okay, she was game. And like the last thing we did before the closing ceremony was the mother rites of passage. And she was the last group to go, which, so I was conferring the mother rites of passage onto my mother. She's crying. Like all 35 women are hysterical. I'm like, my training has not prepared me for this.
Magic. That's the medicine.
Exactly. Exactly that. I'm like, of course I'm standing across from my mother at the end of this weekend, where she's done some deep healing that she didn't even know she needed. And she didn't even know she was coming on this. and then it was so beautiful. And like, you know, I've had so many beautiful messages from the other women in the group who were like, that was on like a meta level so healing for me to witness as well. So
yeah, I mean, I get daily messages all the time, especially because I did the witch initiation and then the photo shoot of the sisterhood. the amount of people just saying all over the world, I really need this. I need this in my life. I need the circle. And I'm like, just call forward your sisterhood. You know, if it's terrifying, great. It means it's good. You know, ask them to come forward, create these things.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I remember when I, you know, about six years ago now, I went to a coach who I've interviewed for the podcast, Tia Dahan. And I was like, you know, I really want a sister circle and I just can't find one. She was like, make one.
Make one.
What are you waiting for? Make one. And I was like, oh, well, no. Okay. Well, no one told me I could just do that. Okay. So I'm going to go do that. And actually, you know, that simple thing of just go and call your people, go and call them in. That simple permission that I didn't even know I needed, that has unlocked so much. I'm like, well, if I have an idea and I want to do something and I'm like, is anyone doing it? Maybe. If not, I'm doing it. Like it's that confidence. Like once you kind of do it, it's like cold water swimming. It's like, you know, I don't like being cold. It's not my jam.
That's not for me.
but now that I've done cold water swimming, I'm just like, well, if I can do this in December, in January, in February, in Cornwall, like, then what can't I do? You know, like,
this is so empowering.
Like, so I think, you know, it's, we can surprise ourselves. And I think that's the most amazing thing. And I think coming back to intuition, that intuition can be surprising. It can.
Yeah. I mean, I actually asked my soul, how can I be of service more? What else can I do? And then it's the community, the bringing the women together as well as one-to-one. So I was thinking, okay, I could do workshops. I could do, free things on Facebook to gather people together. I could make different groups here and there for people to join and then actually be in person, hold space for these women.
Mm. Is that how your soul business mentoring came to be?
Yeah. Well, no, that's from my council, my higher being. So that's another frequency.
Okay. Yeah, going back to these 12 higher beings, do they have names? Like, you know, how do they show up? I didn't need to loop back to this. So thank you for that.
So obviously, well, this is how I explain it. So you have your soul, which is very, very gentle and the feminine part that knows you best. But then also you have, which I think is a sort of a round sort of, I know I'm showing you on video. So around my head, my ear level is the spirit world in a different dimension. So that's your ancestors, people that you love that has just passed over and anyone that's really interested in you. Cause I live next to a graveyard. So I have a lot of dead talking to me on a daily basis, always have. So that's that level. To me, that frequency is just chitter chatter. It's not life changing. It's not. It is helpful sometimes, but it is just general chitter chatter. It's just as though you're going to walk into a room full of people that you know. Okay. So I wouldn't take it as guidance. You also have your spirit guide. Your spirit guide is a bit more bossy. That's a different frequency. So it's a little bit higher than my ear level. But then I have the council. So they're 12 light beings and they're in almost near enough up to near the source. So like a 12th dimension. They came to me and showed me, and I literally, at the time, I thought I was schizophrenic, to be honest with you. I went downstairs to my husband, I'm like, now I'm seeing less, I'm not sure. But then I've been to other healers as well, they've also seen them with me. It's just anchoring in that frequency with my intuition to trust. So when I do a session with people, I literally just channel the information that these beings tell me. That's from their soul contract. Then obviously the dead also comes in as well. If they want to give flowers or give little messages, but I'm not the typical medium. I'm mainly working with the council instead of the spirit world, if that makes sense. But I also see spirit guides and flashes of past lives as well, if the council want to show me that.
Mm.
So the council said, for the business, it was like, do this, do that. And I have to honor that. I have to say, okay, I'll do that.
Mm.
So the soul mentoring came from them.
And have there been times where they've sent you some messages and like internally, like, has there been a conflict with like an intuitive conflict or just like an ego conflict? Like,
yeah, like my most popular session, the guidance minister reading, literally, I think I was washing up. And they just came through and like, this is the session. This is how you work. This is what you're going to do. This is what you call it. This is how much. And I just thought, I can't do that. That's too out of my comfort zone. I don't know how I could do that. There's no training, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the normal muggle stuff that goes around. But then they showed me I've been doing it all my life anyway. So it's just in a different format. And obviously with lockdown, when everything came onto digital, that's when everything took off. So I just thought, okay, I've got to trust. My intuition's saying, yeah, go for it. I'm feeling the fear. That's another tick. So I was like, okay, what have I got to lose? That's just how it happened.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that throughout your life, you've had some sort of some teachers and mentors, that the sort of the crones and the wise women, and also you have the council as well. So who else would you like to maybe honor in this conversation in terms of your teachers and mentors?
Well, my biggest teacher is my parents. My mum was a well-known tarot reader, and she had her own deck, and that was very popular in America. My dad was working in the fashion trade and traveled the world, but he was also a platform spiritual medium. And that just came naturally one day. He just stood up and just read the room. And I was just like, wow. He also taught me how to meditate as well. So he was very much into that. So they're probably my biggest teachers.
That's lovely.
100%.
And what have been for you in this lifetime, what have been some of the benefits, I suppose, of listening to your intuition?
That's a good question. It's that when you feel that love, it's like you're having a conversation and your intuition says something, and then this is like energy vibration of love. And you really then know that you love yourself and you trust that. And then when you actually act on it and it works out exactly how you've been sort of nudged to do, it's always confirming to you that you're doing the right thing. So the more you unlock it, the more you work with it, the more confirmation you get. So it is the best. It's my favorite frequency, other than the council. It's my favorite frequency to navigate life with, because it knows me best.
That is a beautiful way. That confirmation, that ongoing, and that builds that muscle of trust, you know?
Yeah.
And so how do you support others to build their muscles? Like, what does that look like?
I teach them in their different lifestyles. I'll teach them how to be more present, how to anchor into fear, you know, that it's okay to feel. I'll teach them meditation, journaling, being out in nature. If you can't meditate, you know, if you're walking in nature and you're looking at everything, that is meditation. You know, and if you're then aware of what the birds are sounding and the trees are blowing, then you can start asking yourself questions on that way. And it's no different than sitting in meditation. Just sort of get them to slow down. Everyone's so fast. Everyone's trying to make this 10K month and buying this and buying that. If you just slow down and just feel, and give yourself that little time. I do like a pretty ritual as well. So I do actually teach them, you light a candle, bring incense, you have crystals. Then you will slow down more because you're more present in actually doing these kind of things.
Oh, and I love the way you describe that, because I love pretty things too. And there's like the way you've described it is like really, you know, really it resonates with me that when you're setting up that, when you're lighting your candle, when you're lighting your incense, you're smelling that smell, you're arranging maybe crystals or cards or whatever, or leaves or like flower petals, like as you're doing that, like the invitation is to be in that moment, is to be creative.
You're telling your subconscious, I'm about to do something very sacred. So your energy already goes, you know, it shifts lower. That helps you get into the present moment. The sacred cacao that I've made is another tool for me to actually stop, be still. And with each sip, then I'll ask myself questions and then I'll write the answers. So that's why I brought that in, because it actually helped me in my photography busy life, and the stress with my mum being ill. That was my biggest medicine for that. And it just happened to be popular.
I know. I keep thinking, oh, I gotta get some sacred cacao for the retreats here, as it's made in Cornwall. I mean, I must have some Cornish sacred cacao. But I think, yeah, that's it. It's like, as you were saying at the beginning, it's being, you know, tuning into that, like that intentional high frequency magic. And like when we're, you know, I find it really, I mean, I'm sure I can, and probably have, like, if, you know, I do find it slightly difficult to, when I'm arranging something like rearranging an altar or, you know, or taking 3 minutes in the morning to be intentional and like, you know, gathering. I've planted a side meadow of wildflowers now here in Cornwall, and they are coming into their own, and every day they're glorious. And so, you know, my new morning ritual, or the new addition to it, is going out and choosing one flower to come in. And I've already started. I mean, the first thing I was doing is unpacking the plants and setting up some altars, like, you know, even their temporary altars, but now like bringing in a wildflower as long as they last, every day. And I find it really hard to be thinking about all of the, like all the boxes I need to unpack, or, you know, all the emails that I need to write. Like, it's that practice of like, even if it's for a few minutes, I'm in this moment, I'm with myself, I'm held by this land. And it's, you know, and I like that, you know, that question I ask, like, how am I feeling? Is like, the question I often ask myself is like, if only for today, how do I want to approach everything? And just seeing what that is like, is today, like, I'm on day two of my cycle. So today was like, how do I want to approach everything? Slowly, like, real slow, like slow and calm and with ease. Yeah. That's how I want to approach things.
And everyone can do this. Everyone can use these tools, you know, and when people say, I'm really, really busy, you can spend 2 minutes, 5 minutes a day of just being still, lighting that candle, even having a cup of tea, lighting a tea light on your table and just saying, you know, where am I holding stress? Mm. What's the intention I want to set for the day? How am I?
And I think, you know, that, and, you know, that, again, the more you practice that, like, you know, I can't sit, you know, I've just built an office upstairs, or I have, let me rephrase that. My partner has built an office upstairs. I had very little to do with it. I went to IKEA with him and ate meatballs. That was my contribution to it. And bought tea lights, because has it been a trip to IKEA if you haven't bought a candle or tea lights? No one has. They don't let you leave. So I'm, you know, I really can't wait to unpack and use all that space that he's built, to make my space where I work intentional and beautiful. And I think that, you know, even like 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have done that. I probably would have just been like, you know what, this is my worky space. And in my worky space, I have my, you know, I have my computer and I have my notebook and I have like my stapler and all that kind of stuff. And now I'm like, there's no worky space and spiritual space. It's all
My whole house is a sacred space, but different containers for different things, even the garden with my sheds.
Exactly that. It's like, you know, I look at everything as an altar, like, and you know, I'm, you know, and my, you know, my partner is, I have a lot of gratitude for him, because he's like, he's an ex-copper, you know what I mean? Like, he has like his stuff, like he has like police hats in, you know, glass cases. And then I'm just like, there's going to be crystals and plants and oracle cards and feathers and all sorts everywhere. And he's just like, okay, cool. You know, he has his cinema. I'm looking at it now. He has his cinema and, you know, his gin bar. And even in the gin bar, there's Welsh witch gin and plants and some crystals up in there. And he's just like, hey, this is what it is to live with a witch. And so, So Emma, this has been an amazing conversation. I just wonder if you have anything else you'd like to share from, I don't know if the council has anything to say, or if there's any other bits of intuition or anything from your heart that you'd want to share with us before we wrap up our conversation.
I just hope that this is inspiring for other people to actually take that 2 minute pause to actually anchor in into their soul and ask themselves, you know, who do I want to be? You know, what do I want to do? How am I feeling? Guide me, show me, and just see and feel what happens.
I think that is like, I just want that like written down, like right in front of me. That's a beautiful, succinct, daily reminder, Emma. That's beautiful. So, Emma, how can people connect with you? How can they work with you? What's the best way? What's offering now?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram or on TikTok. But the best way to message me or get in touch with me is through my website as email. That'd be great.
And what are your offerings at the moment?
I'm doing one-to-one sessions. I've got Soul Business Mentoring, which is also my husband's involved in that as well. There's 1 month you spend with him. He's a graphic designer. I've got a beautiful autumn equinox sister circle coming up, which I haven't released any details or dates yet, which it is going to be beautiful because there's going to be food involved. And I like food gathering, and that's going to just be a win-win, fires and stuff.
Is that down in Cornwall?
That's in Cornwall.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that's in Cornwall. So if you want to sign up to my newsletter, that's where I release it before I release it on social media. I have something huge to share as well, but I'm not allowed to share that yet. So I'm literally going to wait for today. So I might be able to release it by the time this podcast comes out.
Emma, I can't wait to hear what that is. And I'm just really, really... again, so much gratitude for this conversation and for the work that you're doing and for your generosity of wisdom and the beauty that you bring to this world and this lifetime. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on the Intuition Conversations.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it spoke to your heart and inspired you to connect to your own intuition. Check out the show notes for more information on the things discussed in this episode and details of how to connect with our amazing speaker. I would love to hear your feedback, and you can find me over at Koya with Megan on Instagram and on my website, meganfield.com. I would adore it if you would leave a review, and please don't forget to hit follow if you want the Intuition Conversations to automatically be on your phone every week. I can't wait to speak with you on the next episode.